But there's two things that keep coming up to me is tree and rivers. It's like, okay, Lord, where are you going with this? And, of course, Mark's series for the past few weeks has been You've Got the Goods. And I think for me is that when he's talking to me about a tree, when you know a tree and you know, when you talk about a tree, and it takes me to Psalms 1, where it reads, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." I mean, imagine big, luscious tree sitting by a stream. It's unmovable. It's unstoppable. It's full of everything that it needs to keep it healthy, to keep it prospering all the time, all the time, all the time. And that is the way we're supposed to be. When we become born again, we can be like that tree that's being fed and being nurtured by the Word of God. And not only does it grow big and wonderful, but anything and everybody who comes in contact with it, it's shaded all the time. They just rest. I mean, you can imagine yourself sitting down picnicking by this tree, and others, everybody around it is enjoying the benefits of it. Not only is Christ being given to be in you to make your life wonderful, but he's also been given to you to affect the people around you. So I'm going to choose a tree life. So I'm encouraging a tree life. I like the tree life. That's good, because that, you know, rooted and grounded, that's the only place to be.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I've been teaching You Got the Goods. Say, I got the goods. Bible says you are complete in him. You are complete in Christ Jesus. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so what was on my heart to begin to talk about some today is the goods that we have isn't just for us. It's about taking... See, Lord, how do I say this? Christians should not be spending their whole lives trying to arrive at something so that they can eventually get to a point that they can talk to somebody else about Jesus. What they should realize is they got everything that they need. Right now, it's a change of mind. It's a change of mindset. It's knowing that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the daughter of God. You are the child of the Most High God. You're already in a new kingdom right now, which empowers you to now go out and be the light. I don't have to stop. I don't have to try to get filled up my whole life to get there one day to go out. No, the moment you get born again, I mean, Jesus met a woman at the well. And when she found out about Jesus, then she went home and started witnessing right away. I met a man. And she wasn't even born again yet. We have everything that we need. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, and so I wanted to start talking this morning about what that looks like, discipling others. What does it look like going after others? What does it look like taking what you have and not being just in your own comfort zone, but going outside of your comfort zone? Verse 16, from whom, well, it's better to start in verse 15. We speak the truth in love, so that we may grow up into him in all things. Now, I love that. We speak the truth in love, and so that we may grow up into him into all things. And that's what it's about. It's about the body of Christ growing together. We do not grow isolated from each other. We grow together, which is the head, even Christ. Christ is the head of the body. Now, look at verse 16. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version just to make it a little bit easier here. from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. The whole body is joined together by what every joint supplies. You are a joint. You are part of that supply. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. It causes the growth of the body for the edifying or the building up of itself in love. And so we see here a picture of a body that grows together. Wouldn't it be weird if as I was growing, if just my arm grew and the rest of me didn't grow? Wouldn't it be weird if this just this side of my body grew, you know, and the rest of it just stayed? We don't think about people like one piece, you know, one part, one finger, one toe, you know. Now, if you're lying, maybe your nose grows, but beyond that, no. Your body grows together, and each part, as it's growing, is doing its piece, and it's building itself up. This is a picture of the body of Christ, that together, that what I have, I supply to the rest of the body. And not only that, now part of that calling is to go out and also bring other people to be a part of the body and to help find those gifts and callings that's in them. Amen. And so Jesus told the disciples in Matthew, last chapter, he said, go into all the world. And the King James says, preach the gospel to every creature. But actually what it means, and you'll see it in other translations, make disciples. Make disciples out of every nation. So it's not about just preaching the gospel and then leaving them. It's about literally making disciples. Remember, during Jesus' time, kind of three categories of people. He ministered to the crowds, and they came and they heard. But then he said in John chapter 8 to those Jews that believed on him. So people went from being part of the crowd to being somebody that believed on him. So he said to those Jews that believe on him, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciples indeed. So just because a person comes to church doesn't mean they're a disciple. Just because you're part of the crowd doesn't mean you're a disciple. So if we're to disciple other people, it's not just ministering the gospel to a bunch of people. It's about being intentional and about helping them move from a place of being part of the crowd to just believing to actually continuing in the Word of God. It's an awesome responsibility. And so as this was on my heart this week, yesterday, the pastor's wife in the Philippines is Nelrose Sasum. So it's Nelrose and Tito. And Nelrose ministered yesterday afternoon after I did. Thank God for that. Because I thought I could preach. But man, I turned around to the guy behind me that had preached after me. I said, aren't you glad we went first? I mean, she brought a powerful word that is in line with where we're at, and it was such a blessing. It got me out of I went Jeff Thomas on him. I got out of my seat quite a few times. It was awesome. Well, the Lord has worked it out to where she was able to come this morning. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, this is going to be awesome. You guys are in for such a treat this morning. I just want you to give a good Birmingham welcome to Nelrose Sasum as she comes. Brooke, if you'll come with her, please. And Brooke is from Coleman, but she is actually over in the Philippines with them going through their Bible college. And so I want Brooke to share a little bit about their ministry real quick, and then we're just going to let Nelrose share what she shared yesterday. You're going to be so blessed. We're so excited to have you with us, and what a blessing. Amen.
Good morning, Life of Faith. It is an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. Thank you so much, Pastor, for having us. You're in for a real treat. Pastora Nelrose is amazing. She has been a spiritual mother for me for the last year of my life. God sent me to Davao City, Philippines, to be under her and Pastor Tito's training. And it has been a wonderful experience for me to just grow with leaps and bounds in the Lord. Their ministry strategy, so to speak, is all about gathering the harvest, preserving the harvest, training the harvest, and then sending the harvest out. And then it's just repeat, repeat, repeat. And so you're just multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And that's the picture of the church is Ephesians 4:16. That's what releaser of life looks like. That's what the body looks like there. And it has just been an amazing opportunity for me. And I'm so thankful for you and Pastor. And without further ado, Pastora Nelrose Sassam.
Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let's give God the glory. Amen. Wow. Good morning, Life of Faith Church. So glad to be here. I would like to honor the man of God of this church, Pastor Mark. Me and my husband met your pastor at the Healing and Freedom Conference that had happened last Friday and Saturday. Pastor Mark, thank you for this opportunity and privilege to share God's word this morning. I do not take this lightly. Thank God for this opportunity. And thank God for my friends, Brooke and Rebecca. Let's all look to God in prayer this morning. Father, I come under your authority and I submit myself to you and to the man of God in this church and the leadership. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done in this service this morning. It's all about you, Father. And once again, I offer my life, my everything to you. May the purpose of this gathering be done according to your will and your purpose. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll go straight into the word. Let's open our Bibles in the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 20, and I will be speaking on the topic, We Have an Assignment. Because as Pastor Mark have said, you have the goods. You have the goods. And I was listening there, and what the Lord has dropped into my spirit is, I am pregnant and I am ready to give birth. Because there is life, church. There is life within us. And then it's ready to give birth. And this life will spread to others. Amen. The name of our church is Releaser of Life Family Church. Because we believe that the God that we are serving is a source of life, and He is giving life to us, and this life ought to be shared to others as well. Amen. And I was reminded also, Pastor, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 19, before going to my main thing, it says there, and I was just reminded when Pastor Mark said this, and I am on this. I believe this word, and I stand on this word, and I declare this word to everyone this morning. I also pray, verse 19, that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us. Other version says, the greatness of God's power towards us who believe. So there is a power, greatness of power from, and it is being targeted. The focus of this power is towards us who believe, who are believers here this morning. There is great power that is in us, deposited in us. And it is not for our personal consumption only, but we have to share it to others so they too can experience the wonderful working of God in our life. And while we were singing the song, the word Emmanuel, he is not only with us, but he is in us, so that in us we're going to share it to others. Woo. Let's go give God a praise, please. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is still Jesus, and he can do it again in this generation. Let's look on that verse, if book of Luke chapter 5. Are you ready for this? Wow. Can I just look here? And it came to pass. Let's all read it, please. Read it. Go. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. And it came to pass, in the NLT it says, one day what had happened? One day, go back please, I'm just 17. One day, Jesus was teaching. In the book of Mark it says, Jesus was preaching. Jesus had an assignment, and his assignment was to preach and teach, heal, whatever it be the purpose. He came to seek and save that which was lost. He was on assignment, and on this very day, he was doing his assignment. And while he was doing his assignment, the power of the Lord was present to heal. And I believe the power of God is here today, and he will have breakthroughs after breakthroughs. Amen. Because the word of God is preached, and there is manifestations. Amen. And then verse 17, the next verse. Wow. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and thus they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. So what is the condition or the situation at this time? In the book of Mark, the cross-reference, but because it says there were men. Actually, in the book of Mark, it says there were four men. What is these four men doing? These four men were carrying what? Carrying a man, and what is the condition of the man? In other version, it says, a paralytic man. Palsy. Amen. And I search. When you are paralyzed, of course, it means you are unable to walk. In some areas, unable to move. Right? And then when a paralyzed person in this condition, he is powerless or ineffective in some areas of his life. Amen? And when a person is paralyzed, it prevents him to doing something. And also, when a paralyzed person in his situation, he is broken. And also, there's quote-unquote destroy. Amen. And I am reminded of the verse in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and have it abundantly. Now, I was pondering on the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and equals makes us paralyzed. Now, the word steal, what do they steal? When a thief comes, what do they usually steal? They steal something that is important. Something that is valuable. Something that is precious. Something that is significant. And that speaks to me, the devil, the thief comes to steal. Why? Sometimes the devil comes into our life to steal. That means to me, I am valuable, I am precious, I am of worth, and the devil wants to steal something in me so that I cannot do what the Lord wants me to do or accomplish. Amen. Tell the person next to you, you are valuable. You are important. You are of worth. Amen. Because sometimes because of the attacks, the predicament, the circumstances that we are in, sometimes we feel we cannot move. We are ineffective. We are powerless. Amen. Count the fear. Put the fear in it. But that is a lie from the enemy. Because Jesus came. Jesus came to put something in us. The power of God is in us. And we can arise, for greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The devil cannot stop the potential God has deposited in our life. Not only does he steal, but he kills. You can only kill something that is alive. And I am alive. We are alive. And we will not allow the devil to kill God's purpose and God's assignment in our lives. Woo! Right? Steal, kill, and what do you destroy? Anything that is established is the one that the devil wants to destroy. But thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the teaching that is being brought here. Week after week after week, it helps us to be established in our relationship with God and in our faith with God so that we can do our assignment. Hallelujah. But I know my God, and we can do exploits for him. Thank you, Lord. That's just additional. But Jesus came to give us life and have it abundantly. This man in the story is paralyzed. He cannot walk. He was confined in the mat every day. And he begged for help for his daily needs. This is a picture that I see around me in the Philippines. Maybe here too. There are some, and even inside the church and also outside the church, who are in a situation that we are, that are paralyzed physically. But then not only paralyzed physically, but there are those who are also paralyzed emotionally. Paralyzed mentally. Paralyzed spiritually. We are unable to move. We want to do great things for God. We want to be free, but somehow we cannot move on. They feel that they are powerless. They feel that they are ineffective. The feeling of inadequacy. Thank God. You know, when I face white people like you, honest? Can I be honest? I have that feeling. But praise God, I won't allow the lie of the enemy, because I know I have a word from the Lord. I am not paralyzed this morning. Woo! And there are those who hit rock bottom in their lives. There are those who have been broken, hurt, offenses, name it, distress. There is just something that prevents some people to go on, to move on in serving the Lord. And in this setting, my friend, in this crisis in the life of this paralyzed man, he needed friend or friends. There are a lot of people around us, as I said, who are in this situation. And they are waiting for you and for me. We have something to offer within us. As Pastor said, we have the goods in us. There is somebody waiting out there for us. And these friends of his has these four kinds of attitude that they possess towards this man in need or in crisis. The number one point is friends who have compassion. Everybody say compassion. Jesus modeled it to us. He had compassion, right? This man has a small group called his friends. In fact, if it were not for his friends, we would never hear the story written in the Bible. You can change the story of the other person's life. Amen. Compassion. Mr. Compassion arrived. They heard that Jesus was healing the sick, right? So what they did was they carried their friends towards Jesus. Because it is a truth, it is a fact that Jesus is a source of healing. He is the answer to everyone's need. Whatever we need in this world, Jesus is the answer. We ourselves, even we Christians, we go through some kind of paralytic situations, but we still have hope. We can go to the source, which is Jesus. We have experienced his goodness in his life. And if there is a man or a person in need, our friend, let us draw them, pull them to Jesus. And this is what the friends did to their friend in crisis. I am a mother of three children, all boys. And my youngest son, due to prematurity, he is diagnosed with retinopathy of prematurity. He was born blind. He's 17 years old right now. And we have a support group amongst parents who have kids who are blind. And we help each other in the challenges of having a kid like this. Right? Even I know here in the U.S., there is also like cancer, autism, right? We need, even in the church, we need that. Amen. So men of compassion, so they carried their friend towards Jesus. They choose to help their friend. It took time and effort to do it. It is a sacrifice. But I was looking about what compassion is and what pity is. The word pity hurts your heart. When we see somebody in need, a heart aches for them. Period. But then compassion is, it moves you to your feet. You take an action towards it. And Jesus has exemplified it in his ministry. And these four friends exemplified it as well. They become a bridge builder that connects Jesus to them. And that is also what we need today. Amen. A bridge builder, a connection, and we walk them through the process. As Brooke said in our church, we do not only gather the harvest, we preserve the harvest, we train the harvest or equip the harvest so they too can help others. And I would like to extend the invitation to Pastor Mark to visit not just the Philippines, Pastor, but Davao City at Releaser of Life. We would love to have you there. So these friends are friends who have compassion. May this morning we will have the same heart for others as well. One time in my meditation, I was really pondering about life. You know, when you are over 50, do I look like? And I was thinking of this. I said, I am living in a borrowed time. Please help me finish it well. Borrowed time. My brother said, everybody has a departure time and a departure place. Wherever it may be, I want that my life, my borrowed time, will be worth it. And another thought that came to my mind is, yes, we have a ministry. Me and my husband had a ministry, but we said, we do not want to have just a ministry. We want to build a legacy. That when I will be gone, I will not just be a memory. A person who is, they will remember me. But I want my life. May those who come behind me find me faithful. Can you say it too this morning? Amen. So that is the burning passion. That's why when Pastor Mark asked me, I said, yes, Pastor, because you are helping me fulfill my borrowed time. Thank you, Life of Faith Church. This is a legacy that I want to leave behind. Actually, in our church, mostly it's young people who come from dysfunctional family, needing love, care, and everything. We are their parents. The church is a family. If we could just touch one life, that counts for eternity, I could say, thank you, Lord. It's worth living for. But it needs compassion. The second letter, the point is, not only that they have friends of, they were friends who have compassion, but they were friends who possess courage. These men pack their friend up and carry him to see Jesus. They lay him on the mat, take him inside to where Jesus was inside the house. But the problem was the house was full pack. They cannot go through the door. So one friend becomes a visionary risk taker. If we cannot do it this way, there's got to be a way. When God closes the door, He will open many doors of opportunity. Amen. If we have the courage to go on and on and on and never give up. Woo! And because of that, these men, these people who have, these friends who will have the courage, I call them Mr. Unstoppable. We cannot go through the door. So one of the friends said, then let's go up. It may be difficult, but no one can stop. We have carried him this far. We don't need to back up. We never gave up. We are unstoppable. That's why in our church, we call our youth group Unstoppable. And that is what we should be. And you know what? Our couples group? Unbreakable. And the 60 plus, we call them unbeatable. That's a message by itself. And a declaration and a prophecy in their lives. Amen? So my friends, we should be a man and a woman of courage. No matter what the hindrances may be, we have something in us. We have goods to deliver. And the power of God is deposited within us. And I am pregnant. And we are ready to give birth to sons and daughters. Amen? In the kingdom of God, and we will impact the world. Amen. With the word of God, we are nation transformers. Hallelujah. Because we are not just thinking about now. I am thinking about my next generation. That reminds me, if I could deviate, in Judges, please, in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. This is in my heart. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Hallelujah. Sorry, Pastor, I'm going here and there. In Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Wow. It says there, after that generation died, another generation grew up. But the sad thing is, they did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things He has done for Israel. That is, if Jesus wept is a sad verse, this is a sad verse. The former generation died. But how about the next generation? If we will not do our part now, what will happen to our next generation? We have so much to offer. The pastor said we have goods within us, ready to be delivered. But sometimes because of paralytic situations in our life, we cannot move physically, emotionally, lives after us. Sometimes we get so comfortable in our comfortable zone. Sometimes we do not want to be stretched, but we have to in the name of Jesus, because we have so much to offer, and there are people in need out there. That's my heart. Amen. If we in the Philippines, we don't have the comfort as you have, but we have the compassion. The reason we are here, it's not just, yeah, America is beautiful, but it's not that. There's something in us. And thank you, Pastor, for bringing it out of us this morning. To stand here in front of you needs courage, but thank God for the courage. I am unstoppable for the Lord, and I will never give up. Why? Because there is a generation waiting for us, and it can be members of your family. It can be your coworker. It can be just anybody around you, and they are waiting for you. They are waiting for you. They are waiting for you. We're not just doing church. We are called to be followers of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. So men of courage, they have to go up in the rooftop. They have to make a big hole and strategizing it that their friend landed in front where Jesus was teaching. Maybe the friend who was paralyzed said, "Hey, have you tested the ropes? Can the rope handle me? I'm paralyzed, but I might be broken." The more. I know I am disabled, but you know, you can add more to my disability. And what if, the what ifs? What if Jesus will reject me? It more adds another hurt emotionally. But how about the honor of the house? You know those things. My friend, you can be stopped by fear, or you can accomplish it by faith. But these people were unstoppable. They'd rather to accomplish it by faith, because faith is courage in action. Amen. Hallelujah. And the third one. So the first one was, what was the first one? The second one. And the third one is commitment. Do you see it in the story? So Jesus was teaching, and he will be interrupted. People will be distracted by the man dropping from the roof. However, this man were not concerned about what people will say. Can I hear an amen? And they will not feel embarrassed. They embarrassed as a result of what they just did. This man only cared for one thing and one thing. They are getting this hurting friend of theirs to Jesus for healing. And that is commitment. I don't care what other people say. I will go out of my way to help a hurting friend, a hurting family, and draw them to Jesus, because I know Jesus is the answer to his situation. But sad to say, there are many people who are interested but not committed. Is that a good point? Yes, yes. Yeah, I like that. I'm for that. Interested. But when you call for commitment, that's another story. We know it's happening in our church, and it's not happening in this church. It's happening somewhere, but it's not happening here. Amen. Because we must not only be interested in the things of God, but we really need to be committed to do our assignment. As I said, we have so much to give to everyone out there. Can we give a praise to the Lord? They did not care what the religious leaders of their time will say. They are committed to do their assignment, to do the Father's business. Of course, sometimes we call that, there are people who are easy adapter. They can adapt easily. There are also people who are late adapter. And the last one is laggard. They always lag behind. The laggards. I call them the laggards. But then, if only majority, the quick adapter will pull the late adapter, and even the laggards, they can be part of your team to do the kingdom mandate. Amen. Woo! And the last. Thank you, Lord. I'm on the last point. The last point is the word collaboration. Collaboration is working together as a team to accomplish or reach a given goal. And that means teamwork and unity. These four friends could not accomplish what they want to accomplish, or they cannot do their assignment if they don't have collaboration. They were, the layman or the paralyzed man was lying on a mat, and it has four corners. So corner number one, what's the first one? Compassion, courage, commitment, and the result is collaboration. If one is lacking, the man will fall. But we need these four ingredients to accomplish their given faith, their given task, They collaborated and worked as a team, unity in heart and in mind towards the given goal or assignment. And as a result of their collaboration, when Jesus saw their faith, it doesn't say Jesus saw his faith. It was not only the faith of the paralyzed man, but Jesus perceived that the man, God or Jesus, saw their faith, and God honored their faith. And I believe it did not only just impact, of course, the paralytic man was healed, but it has also impact growth in the lives of the four friends. Not only this man here, the four friends, but all the people around. The community was also impacted because of what they have done. And as we do the same, it will not only us who will receive a miracle or a touch from the Lord, but then others will also do it, that our team will do it, and the community will also be impacted because we have collaborated with one another. Amen. So, I encourage everyone, or I can challenge everyone, I know your pastor is a visionary man. He has a vision for this house. Amen. Can I challenge and ask you to collaborate with a man of God in this house so that the vision, the dream, the mission, whatever he has, God has for this church will not only impact this church, but it will spread beyond these four walls. The world needs the Lord. I know this man. I may not know it, but as a pastor, our hearts are burning for the lost. Our hearts not only burning for the lost, but even to equip saints, Ephesians chapter 4, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. Go and make disciples, teaching them to obey all things. Amen. And I believe this is happening so that the world, the people who are paralyzed, may it be physically, emotionally, mentally. Nowadays, I see in the news, there is so much suicidal spirit. But we have the answer. What says Jesus? Why can't we share it to others as well? Amen. Compassion. Courage, commitment, and collaboration can accomplish great things in the kingdom of God. I pray, dear God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's all stand, please. And can we just hold hands with one another and just pray for one another? That the words that we receive will not just be for us to hear, but we will apply it in our lives. Yes, pray for the person next to you. Greater compassion, greater level of courage, greater and deeper level of commitment, and the spirit of collaboration to do the kingdom's business for the expansion of God's kingdom be here on earth will be accomplished. Yes. Say a prayer for the person next to you. Hallelujah. You can do it again, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. for your glory and for your honor, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Let it be so in our lives, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we will be a channel of blessing to others. A greater level of courage, Lord. Greater level of compassion, Lord. A greater level of commitment, Lord. As we bind ourselves, bind, and blend for your kingdom purpose, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you, Lord. You may remain, stay standing, please. I'm going to ask our prayer ministers to come up as we close out the service. If the prayer ministers would just come up so that they're available if you want prayer. You know, the first thing, you say, so how do we, how do we accomplish these things? How do we, make sure that we're beginning to walk this way and to live this way? You know, the first way is you have to see people differently. Well, let me say it this way. The first way is you have to see people. And when I mean you have to see people, it doesn't mean you're aware of them. You have to see them the way that Jesus would. So when you go to, when you get gas, when you go to a restaurant, a waitress that comes, don't just see her or him for what he can do for you. See him or her as, is there something, Lord, in me that I can do for them or that I can share with them? We have to see people differently. Because if you don't see the need, then you'll never have compassion to move you towards the need. See? And so it begins there. Start looking at people differently. And the Spirit of God and those things that are on the inside of you will begin to work in you towards that. And then you can add to it that courage. And then you can add to it the commitment and the collaboration. But it starts with seeing the need. Okay? And the friends saw the need of their friend that then enabled them to begin to move towards meeting the answer to that need. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as you're just working in us and as you're working through us, that Father is just taking a simple step of actually seeing and acknowledging and being aware of the needs that other people have. That Father, as your children that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that the gifts of the Spirit are there, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of healing, discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, all of those things, the gift of miracles, all those things are already there on the inside of us, just waiting to come out to meet a need. So, Father, I pray that this week, or that today, that we'll start seeing the needs that are in other people's lives. Instead of us being need-oriented, we recognize that we are those that have to give to others that have needs. And that's you, Jesus. You're the source of all life. You're the source of our righteousness. You're the source of the power. You're the source of everything. So, Father, we just say, open our eyes. Open our eyes to those around us. Let us not be so consumed with ourselves that we miss what's going on in other people's lives. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen.